fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. England will play Spain Sunday in the final of the FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament in Sydney, Australia. In Sydney Wednesday, in front of a crowd of nearly 76,000, England defeated World Cup co-host Australia 3-1. European champion England took a 1-0 lead in the 36th minute when Ella Toon fired a shot into the top corner of the net. But Australia equalized in the 63rd minute on a brilliant goal by star striker Sam Kerr. The Chelsea woman unleashed a 27-meter rocket that flew over English goalkeeper Mary Earps. The Lionesses of England sealed their first FIFA Women's World Cup final appearance on goals by Lauren Hemp and Alessia Russo in the 71st and 86th minutes, respectively. Russo told FIFA.com after the match, and I quote, "Over the moon, incredible. We've been saying we've been dreaming of the semis, but this is what it's all about. A World Cup final with this group. Buzzing. When they scored, they got momentum. The place erupted, and then Hempo's goal just flipped the momentum, which was crucial. So to get 3-1, you settle a bit and see the game out. That's why we do what we do on the pitch. It is because of all our friends and family. To celebrate with them now is really special." End quote. Final score from Sydney. England 3, Australia 1. England will play Spain in Sunday's FIFA Women's World Cup final.
This is Sunday Side of Sports.
Spanish football fans had a lot to crow about Tuesday after their team beat Sweden 2-1 to advance to their first Women's World Cup final. Let's listen now to some Spanish reaction as fans exited Eden Park in Auckland, New Zealand. The girls played spectacularly, and we're going to Sydney to watch them play in the final, and I am so excited, truly excited.
Wow, what a game. It just opened up. First half, Spain was a little bit drawn back. I felt Sweden dominated the first half. Second game, they fully came out, felt like they were going to be the team to score, and then they scored. 1-1 and then 2-1. I think Spain deserved it all the way.
Well, we had lots of fun, you know. In the end, when you go to the stadium, it's all about the atmosphere as well, which was definitely there. We just had to wait a long time, about 86 minutes before it was really hitting it off, and then we had a very exciting finish. So, no, loved it.
I think tonight was a great game. Both teams played extremely well, but Spain took the win, and yeah, we can't complain about it. It was a great night for everyone.
But it was not a great night if you were a Swedish fan.
Well, it's just disappointing, really. I was hoping Sweden could have done well in a World Cup, because we're not that good at the men's football. So, but there we go, our chances are out the window now.
You know, it's unfortunate, but we're proud of the girls. They got so far. Spain just nicked them in the last, 5 minutes. It's just sad day for everyone from Sweden.
I think Sweden played well. They played to their heart, how they normally play. You know, they played defensively. They did what they usually do. Spain managed to break that in the second half, and they tried their best. It was unfortunate about the second goal. Good goal, but, you know, they tried their best, and hopefully they do good in the third place to get that placing.
You've been listening to Swedish and Spanish football fans, and they were speaking at Eden Park in Auckland, New Zealand.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Africa's fastest man, Ferdinand Omanyala, is looking forward to the World Championships, which begins Saturday, August 19th in Budapest, Hungary. Omanyala won the 100 meters gold medal at last year's Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, England. The Kenyan sprinter is now aiming to win his first medal at the World Championships. In this Sunny Side of Sports flashback, let's listen to Omanyala tell Prince Nesta about his typical daily training routine.
Wake up, go to the gym, go back to train on the track. After track, come home, take some lunch. Go back for training in the evening, come, sleep, repeat the same Monday to Saturday, doing that continuously. 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night is enough for me. And then sleep, steal some nap during the day, like an hour or two before the training sessions in the evening.
Tell us, what do you eat, for instance, you know, because I want to also train and I want to be fast, man. I want to be like you, maybe. What do you eat, you know, some of the diets, especially because I'm pretty sure you have a lot of dietary restrictions and stuff. There might be a, you know, an athlete listening to you right now and they would like to know possibly what's your diet like?
You know, like when you come from Kenya, the western part of the country, you know about ugali.
Yeah.
So that's like staple food in my house. And then a lot of fruits, a lot of green vegetables, a lot of proteins for recovery. And yeah, basically that is. And some carbs to supplement that.
Amazing. How about, you know, there's someone seated somewhere asking themselves, how about alcohol, for instance, or, you know, wine and stuff? Are you even allowed to drink that?
Yeah, it's a choice. Athletes, alcohol is not banned, but for me, I don't take alcohol. Not for the love of the sport or for the discipline of the sport, but I just don't like alcohol. I don't see the fun in it. Yeah, so that's not me.
After the Tokyo events and coming back to Kenya, you competed in the Kikeino Classics, actually. That's where you broke the record. And the event took place in the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani, in Nairobi, Kenya. American Trayvon Bromwell won the 100-meter race in that particular event with a world lead time of 9.76 seconds. You came in second at 9.77. In fact, it was so close, you know, some people really couldn't determine who won that event, you know, it was so close. And Justin Gatlin, you know, came in third during that event at 10.03 seconds. You know, take us through the series of events before, during the event, and even after the event.
So the Kipkeno Classic was really hyped. It was a race between me and Gatlin because so many people know Gatlin in Kenya and so many people know Manyala. Nobody was talking about Bromwell. So people were hyping between me and Gatlin. You know, I remember even at the press conference, there was so much hype until you can feel like this is going to be big. Yeah. So it was a really very good planned event. And getting into the stadium, it was around 6 and the lights were up. And I see people, there are so many people in the field. And then I'm looking at people and nobody is sitting down. Everybody is standing. And the commentator is there like, this is the moment that all have been waiting for.
Wow.
So even at the call room, the guys who write the names before the athletes entered the field were just in a hurry because they all wanted to get in. So they were writing our names so hurriedly so that they just leave us and go in and watch. So it was it was a really great and weighted event. And it was live again on TV. So you can imagine how big that was. And the fans, okay, there were a bit of fans in the field. But yeah, looking at people and seeing how people are waiting for such an event, it was really motivating. Yeah, after that, running the African record, everybody's talking about. I remember I got out of the field and everybody was waiting just to see me. Who is this guy?
You surprised the whole nation, honestly. And, you know, people couldn't believe it that a Kenyan known for, you know, long distance running, a Kenyan could run 100 meters at 9.77 seconds.
Yeah, it was big. It was big.
That's Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, the African record holder in the men's 100 meters, who will be competing at the upcoming World Championships
in Budapest. And that interview with Prince Nesta was originally broadcast on the Sunny Side of Sports in 2021.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Athletics Federation of Nigeria, or AFN, says it's optimistic of good performances by Team Nigeria at the upcoming World Championships in Budapest. For more details, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with AFN board member Navy Commodore Omotseye Nesiyama, retired.
I believe we will have something good. The extent of the goodness, we'll watch it over the next couple of weeks. I think we will be able to get to the podium. The number of podium appearances is what I cannot determine right now.
You're a board member of AFN, and it is your duty, or one of your assignments is to catch them young from the grassroots. What is it that the Athletics Federation of Nigeria is doing to get new set of athletes that will represent the country in future championships and tournaments?
The Toby Amusons, S.A. Brumers, and co that you hear of today were discovered by us when I was technical director. There's something we did that brought them up. And we had this two-pronged approach. One is the developmental approach, and there's the performance approach. So what your question now is based on the developmental approach. How to really, really feed these ones that are aging out with fresh and young athletes. A lot of states now are embracing the Catch Them Young program. A lot more developmental competitions are taking place. There's competitions for the under 18 and under 20, and even under 15. Interestingly, a couple of athletes that ran at the national trials were actually under 15, under 18. So when you see things like that coming up, taking place, then you are sure that something right is being done from the very early stages. Because by the time they get exposed to high-level competition at this very early age, then they overcome that inertia to say, look, I can do it. So by and large, that is one of the things we're doing. But more and more of these developmental programs are now going on. A lot of people are now seeing that you can actually invest in that area and still be able to get some accolades. Formerly, some people base their interest on performances, you know, getting to the podium and in international competitions. But they have seen now that we need to have feeders. And if you are able to produce a champion, no matter how long it takes, the champion will go back to the roots to say, this is where I developed from. Just like what Toby Amuso and the rest are doing now. So you discover that is actually boosting the interest of people in showing some concerns for developmental athletics.
That's Navy Commodore Omotseye Nesiama, retired, a board member of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Benin City, Nigeria.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English-language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Cameroon takes on Burundi Wednesday in the opening match of the 2023 African Women's Volleyball Championship in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. The top team among the 12 competing nations will qualify for the Paris 2024 Summer Olympics. Moki Edwin Kinzika tells us more from Yaoundé.
On va procéder au tirage au sort des 6 équipes qui restent, qui rentrent dans le draw.
An official of the African Volleyball Confederation announces to at least 1,000 fans at Yaoundé's multipurpose sports complex that 12 squads will be split up into two groups for the 2023 African Women's Volleyball Championship that ends on August 18. Kenya women's volleyball coach Paul Bitok says it will be tedious for teams to play intensive matches every day.
We have participated in different competitions in the World Championship. Each player can play as libero so long as you give notification 1 hour before the match. So I don't know in this championship if we will be allowed to use this kind of rule because we have 6 teams in our group. So that means we will be playing every day in 8 days. So it's very, very difficult for us to continue playing with the same player. So if you can allow us to use the same system where we can pick any of the player to play as libero.
Bitok's submission is ruled out by Isen Zam of the African Volleyball Confederation.
That is a particular disposal for VNL and for FIVB competitions. At the level of CAVB, we have not mentioned that in the rules. For the moment, we will not accept that.
Sports pundits say 9-time winners Kenya are favorites because they are the continent's most experienced side in the 2023 world ranking. Kenya will play against Morocco, Rwanda, Uganda, and tournament debutants Burkina Faso and Lesotho in Group B. Cameroon, Algeria, Nigeria, Egypt, Burundi and Mali will compete in Group A. Egypt, Tunisia and Cameroon are three-time winners. Cameroon doubles as defending champion and pulls a crowd as host nation. Cameroon is coming to the competition after 3 months of training in Slovenia and Croatia, during which they played 13 international friendlies, winning 9 and losing 4. Peter Nonnenberg is Cameroon's head coach. He says the presence of continental giants like Kenya, Tunisia and Egypt is not an obstacle to Cameroon's ambition of lifting the championship to qualify for the Paris 2024 Summer Olympic Games.
We have very top teams, very good teams. We have improving teams. We have confirmed teams that will be involved in the competition. And then I think whatever be your status in this competition, you will need to play before you win the game. Even if you are the best as Cameroon, the title holder, when you go into the competition, you should try in such a way that you put all the forces, all your chances on your side. So we know Burundi and we know the previous participant of Burundi and the technical value of Burundi. Without misestimating the team, the match against Burundi is more affordable than the other team. So we choose the first opponent that will permit us to enter progressively in the competition and going in the competition with more confidence. Easy match, but easy game.
Nigeria has never won the championship. Created in 1976, Nigeria's head coach Samuel Ajayi says he recognizes Cameroon's superiority over the past three championships, but that Nigeria will not be an easy team to beat.
It's not today I've been playing Cameroon. I know them very well. Cameroon have been beating Nigeria lately in the volleyball, but they might be surprised in this tournament. Our team is very young, so now we'll get there.
Morocco, Rwanda, Burkina Faso, Lesotho, Mali and Uganda, who have also never won the championship, say there is room for surprises as their teams are driven by the determination to rise to the pinnacle of African Women's Volleyball Championship. Paolo De Tarso heads the Rwandan female volleyball team. He says his team is young and dynamic, but not strong enough to overpower teams like Egypt, Tunisia, Cameroon and Kenya.
I'm really excited about the draw. It was very well done. We have two different groups with strong teams in both sides. And I think we have now to think in our first goal that is qualified to the quarterfinals. And I believe our team will have conditions to get this goal. I think we have total conditions to qualify at least to the quarterfinals.
The top team among 12 competing nations will qualify for the Paris 2024 Summer Olympic Games. For the sunny side of sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. One of our big basketball stories this year was the Denver Nuggets winning their first NBA title. Let's listen to my report. The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat 94-89 to win their first National Basketball Association championship. The Nuggets won the best of seven NBA Finals, 4-1. Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 5, grabbed 16 rebounds, and was named the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
It's good. I mean, it's good. We did a job. I think we played the best basketball in the postseason, but I think we were there playing the best basketball. You know, today we didn't make shots, but still we defend. It's a good feeling when you know that you did something that nobody believes, and just it was just us. It's just the organization of Denver Nuggets believe in us. Every player believe in each other, and I think that's the most important thing.
Nikola Jokic lifted the NBA trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy one day after Novak Djokovic won his record 23rd major singles title at the French Open tennis tournament. Jokic was asked if this is the greatest moment for Serbian athletes.
Gotta be. You know, sport is something that is always in Serbia. Was something that put us in front of everybody, even like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But now when we have a Djokovic who won the probably the best ever. For us, he's the best ever, of course. And now we have our NBA championship, and I think it's a really good moment to be a Serbian.
Meanwhile, another Denver star, Jamal Murray, scored 14 points in Game 5 and got quite emotional during the trophy presentation ceremony.
It was really hard to put into words, still is. I couldn't even hold it in. You know, I don't know. I couldn't really hold it in. It was just a surreal moment, and everything was hitting. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was hitting at once, from the journey to the celebration with the guys to enjoying the moment to looking back on the rehab to looking back as myself as a kid, as the other viewer. You know what I'm saying? Looking from the crowd in or from the camera lens in, and now being able to look back at them, you know what I'm saying? So it was a lot. I couldn't hold it in. It was just something I've been working for my whole life. I think Mike said it, Porter, you know, this is everybody, every real hooper, you know, wants to be on this stage and playing the game and be in this moment. So to see it full circle, you know, going from my rehab, not being able to walk, go up the stairs, like not just for a month or two, you know what I'm saying? It was for a long time, and a lot of different things going through my head, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and real ones. Like I said, just to see it full circle and have total belief in myself, have the team have total belief in me, people back home have total belief in me. That's all I could ever ask for, and just to see it like this is amazing.
Denver's head coach is Michael Malone. At the post-game news conference, he was asked about the journey he's been on with Nikola Jokic to win the NBA title.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, two MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship. You know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like, he's kind of acting like this was just another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. You know, I love Nikola, 8 years, love Jamal, 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, to challenge ourselves, to get better collectively, individually. It's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person, and I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
Michael Malone's coaching counterpart for the Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Now, obviously, we didn't get the final win, but sometimes, you know, that's true in sport and also in life, that you don't always get what you want. But there's no regrets from our side. Everybody, staff, player alike in the locker room, put themselves out there and put themselves into the team, whatever was best for the team. And the tough pill to swallow is it just wasn't good enough. We ran it up against a team that was just better than us in this series. You have to tip your hat to them. That I said it, but they're one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They're well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. Now, Spoelstra has certainly been deserving of the NBA trophy in past years. He was an assistant coach when Miami won the NBA title in 2006, and he was Miami's head coach for back-to-back NBA championships in 2012 and 2013. Up the August 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
Hi,
get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.